It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? We're in the book of Acts, Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin reading with verse 14. And so Acts chapter 2, verse 14. And so please that you would look that up and be able to study along with us. And I hope that that you can. If you're traveling, why just please listen and make some notes if you can, because I'd love for you to continue to, again, come to know the Lord Jesus and grow. While you're looking that up, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Parkview Bible Church, Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to check out our website, www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. And if you'd like to send us a message, at parkviewbible@gmail.com or parkviewbiblechurch@gmail.com. Either one would work just fine. Hope that was enough time now for you to open your Bibles and prepare for the study. Acts chapter 2, beginning to read with verse 14. But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said unto them, Ye men of Judea, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my voice, to my words. For these men are not drunken, as ye suppose, saying, It is but the third hour of the day. But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your young man shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. And on my servants and on my handmaidens I will pour out in those days of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will show wonders in the heaven above, and signs in the earth beneath, blood and fire and vapor of smoke. The sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood before that great and notable day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Let's begin with prayer before we start the study. Father, thank you that we can come today and enjoy this precious time. Please that you would guide and lead us through this study today. Speak to each one of our hearts. Show us exactly what we're to learn today and apply it to our hearts and to our lives, that we may walk each day serving you. So please, dear Lord, guide and lead us today now, and give us your strength and your wisdom that we need each and every day. And of course, we need to be born again to enjoy both of those. And so I pray today that all that are listening know you as their Lord and Savior. And if not, today would be the day that they would come to know you and trust in you as their personal Savior. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. We're going to back up a little bit first. I want you to see all the areas that Peter was speaking to, all the different people. And if we move back to verse 8 of chapter 2, and how hear we every man in our own tongue wherein we were born. And then comes the comments, they were all amazed, in verse 12, were in doubt, saying one to another, What meanest this? Others mocking said, These men are full of new wine. And so that's what, and then we started in verse 14. But as we look through these names and these lands, these countries, and I'm going to just kind of describe just a little bit of where they are located. And so we have the Parthians first there, and that's India, towards the Tigris River. And then the Medes is east of Assyria, north of Persia. And the Elamites were north of the Persian Gulf. Mesopotamia between the Euphrates and Tigris River. And the Judeans were Jews from neighboring towns and from Jerusalem. And then we have Cappadocia, Pontus, Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, and those are all in Asia Minor, and they're all under the Roman province. And so that's where they were from. Then you had the Egyptians. Most of them were from the city of Alexandria. And then Libya and Cyrene were from the African continent. They were both chief cities in that area, and involved with Egypt and the continent there. Then you have Rome, including both Jews and proselytes, as it says. And the proselytes were, the definition of a proselyte is one who has come over. And so, in other words, they have believed in the in what Moses had told them. They had come to worship and praise the true God, and they would could be of any nationality, but they would definitely be not Jews. But here it includes in Rome, and there were many Jews living in Rome, plus there were many that were converted, you could say it that way. Crete, that was an island there, and we have looked at that in the past. And so the Cretans, there were many believers there. Arabians, between the Red Sea and the Persian Gulf. And so as we look at all of those, and that is a list then from verse 9 down through verse 11, and then we come to verse 12, and they were all amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meaneth this? Now, the words that they were receiving here were powerful words. They were words of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And remember, the crowd that they're speaking with here are many of the same people that at the Passover were screaming and crying, crucify him, crucify him. And now we find that, number one, he has risen. He has been present for 40 days, visiting, talking with those believers during that period of time to strengthen them. And now he has went home with his to be with his Father. And 10 days later now, it is Pentecost, and here we find the presentation of the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection. And as I went through the list here, we know that all of these are of totally different backgrounds, different dialects, different languages, and yet every one of them heard the gospel, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus in their own tongue. I mean, clearly, just as if they were a native of that land. And that's what puzzled them. And so they were all amazed, the scripture says. And when they were amazed and were in doubt, saying one to another, what meanest thou? They heard it. They heard it, but they couldn't believe their own ears. That's what it amounts to. They couldn't believe what they were hearing because they knew that these were all unlearned men. There's no way that they could do this. Look back at verse 7. They were all amazed and marveled, saying one to another, behold, are not all these which speak Galileans? And verse 6, now when this was noised abroad, the multitude came together, were confounded because that every man heard them speak in their own language. What beautiful day this was, a day that the gospel could be presented literally around the world, as everybody had attended and come to Pentecost, which is one of the celebrations they needed to attend. And so here we have all these different peoples as they have been scattered around the world and going to have another time, because in 70 is when Rome comes in and destroys the temple and then literally scatters every one of them further around the world. But you can see And in all these areas here where we find believers, where we find folks that were of every nationality, when I said believers, I'm saying they were Jews. And all these Jews that were out there were believers of Moses. They followed that. But they had not heard the gospel. They had ignored the truth, the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus. And now they're hearing that. And they could not understand. All were amazed, the scripture tells us. And so when the word comes through here, it almost leads us to believe in verse 12 here. They were all amazed. It was almost anxious. They had a level of anxiety because they could not understand what was going on here. They were astonished, not understanding what was going on. And then in verse 13, others mocking said, "These men are full of new wine." Now, always mocking, when God presents the truth, you'll find this. When the Word of God is proclaimed clearly and simply, there's always someone that is mocking that. And as we find all the way in verse 15 here, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that is but the third hour of the day." And that third hour tells us it's about 9 o'clock in the morning. And so let's go back, before we go any further past verse 13, let's go back to Proverbs chapter 1. Proverbs chapter 1. There we go, Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22. "How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity, and the scorners delight in their scorning, and fools hate knowledge? Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit upon you. I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man regarded. But ye have set at naught all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh to desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me, for that they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord." That's the group that we have here. Now, yes, we have a great number are going to get saved here pretty shortly. But this is what we're dealing with here. When the mockers come, and they use that excuse as full of new wine, you just need to go back to Proverbs chapter 1, verse 22 through 29, and you'll find what's going on there. Now, we find here, when we come to verse 14, Acts 2:14, "But Peter, standing up with the 11, lifted up his voice and said to them, Ye men of Judah, and all ye that dwell at Jerusalem, be this known unto you, and hearken to my words." Now, if we move all the way over to verse 36, we're going to find a statement here in verse 36 of chapter 2. "Therefore, let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made the same Jesus whom ye have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now, we're going to move through a tremendous amount of complaints, objections that they all had that Peter is going to take care of. The objections had been addressed concerning the Messiah, the Savior, the King of Kings, the one that they crucified, as we've just read. Peter makes this so clear. And I want you to see this. There's a reason, there's a purpose for why Peter proclaims this, because these people, again, were the same that cried out, "Crucify him." These folks that are standing here today before Peter are those same people that denied that Jesus was their Savior, their Messiah, denied that he was the one to save them, to take their sins away, denied that he would be at some time in the future King of Kings. All this they denied. And so we find now, as it comes to the 15th verse, "For these are not drunken, as ye suppose, seeing that it's just the third hour." Again, it's about 9 o'clock. "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And so when we look at the prophet Joel here, let's go back, and it's quoted here, but we're going to go back to Joel. And so we need to take our time here. And we're going to find Joel. There's Joel, chapter 2. Some of those books are kind of hard to find. They just kind of turn together. Joel chapter 2, verse 28. "It shall come to pass afterward that I will pour out my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, your old men shall dream dreams, your young men shall see visions, and also upon the servants and upon the handmaiden in those days I will pour out my spirit. I will show wonders in the heavens and in the earth, blood and fire and pillars of smoke. Sun shall be turned into darkness and the moon into blood, before the great and terrible day of the Lord come. And it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be delivered. For in Mount Zion and in Jerusalem shall be deliverance, as the Lord has said, and in my remnant whom the Lord shall call." It's wonderful words there that Joel spoke almost 800 years before the Lord Jesus came to earth. Almost 800 years. Now, we have several things here, because when we read this, and I'm back now in Acts, and it says in verse 16, "But this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel." And so Peter starts out and says, hey, you should know what has taken place. "It shall come to pass in that last days, saith the Lord." In the last days. Now, there's a lot of things here with the last days. There is the last day. There is the last days. There's last days with the church. There's last days with Israel. And so we need to look at those things. And again, there's the last days, plural, for the church. There's the last days, plural, for Israel. And there's the last day as well. And so I want you to understand that when you read the scripture, you need to see, because it's easy just to read through that verse and not even take a minute to see what it actually means. Now, we're going to go back now to Hebrews. Book of Hebrews, chapter 1. I'm going to look through several verses of scripture here. Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1 and 2. Hebrews 1, 1 and 2. God, who at sundry times and diverse manners spake in times past unto the fathers by the prophets, hath in these last days spoken unto us by his Son, whom he hath appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Now that is a tremendous verse of scripture. And so we find here in these last days, if you'll notice in verse 2, hath in these last days. That's referring to the church. Now let's go to 1 Peter. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 20. Who verily was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest in these last times for you. Be the same as days, last times. Go to 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 3. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts. We're looking for the return of the Lord. He's going to come very soon. Jude, let's go back to Jude, verse 18. Jude, verse 18. How that they told you there should be mockers in the last time who should walk after their own ungodly lusts. This again is referring to the church. Let's go to 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. 1 John chapter 2, verse 18. Little children, it is the last time, and as ye have heard that Antichrist shall come, even now are there many Antichrists, whereby we know that it is the last time. And that is the same words as last days. We are present there. We have much to see the difference between, again, the last days with Israel and the last days with the church. Let's continue here in 1 Timothy. 1 Timothy. Chapter 4. Verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils, speaking lies in hypocrisy, having their conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from meats, which God hath created to be received with thanksgiving of them which believe and know the truth. The time is coming, the time is here. 2 Timothy. This is all going on right now. 2 Timothy chapter 3, 1 through 8. This know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. Men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incompetent, fierce, despisers of those things which are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captivity silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. Now, as James and Jabez withstood Moses, so do these also resist the truth. Men of corrupt minds, reprobate concerning the faith. And it's so important that we understand this is the time that we're in right now. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Verses 3 through 5. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to his abundant mercy hath begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wonderful scripture. 2 Peter chapter 3. Hope you can hear the pages turn. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 1. This second epistle, beloved, I write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by the way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets of the commandments of us, the apostles of the Lord and Savior. Knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers walking after their own lusts, and saying, where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation. For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of the ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come unto repentance. We need to understand that between the last days, there's a difference between the last days and the last day. Now, I have just been concerning the last days concerning the church here, where that's what we've taken the time to do. But there is a last day, and that is in John. I don't know if we've got time to get there or not. John 12:48. John 12:48. He that rejecteth me and receiveth not my words hath one that judgeth him. The word that I have spoken, the same shall judge him in the last day. That is the last day. That is the judgment of the lost. The last days that we are in right now, and that started, and we'll confirm this next time we're together, that started at the birth of the Lord Jesus Christ. The last days for the church started then. And so I want you to see the difference, but the last day that is spoken of here is speaking to the lost. The last days are concerning what's going on during this time of grace, the day of grace right now. And so, my dear friend, it's so important that we know the Word of God, that we study the Word of God, that we search the Word of God, that you enjoy it each day, and that it's the truth. It's the living Word. This precious book is alive. I hope that you know the Lord Jesus as your Savior. I hope that you have trusted in Him. And it's so important that you don't miss that, because today is the day of salvation. My dear friend, what are you going to do about Jesus?